learn behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guest and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, hosted by Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. The Vital Life will expand your understanding of how to live life fully and joyfully by making conscious choices that promote and maintain vitality in all areas of your life. Now, here is your host, Dr. Carolyn Ross.
Welcome to The Vital Life Radio. I want to welcome my special guest today, who is Martha Ringer. Martha is president of Martha Ringer and Associates. She lives and teaches completing as a way of life. Her clients include corporate executives, business owners, and individuals in need of learned, focused attention in their work. She has over 25 years of business, government, and educational management experience, and also has firsthand experience in what it takes to self-manage and be productive in high-volume work environments. Her coaching brings consciousness to action, resulting in increased effectiveness, energy, and creativity. So welcome to the show, Martha.
Thank you.
I also wanted to mention that you have a book. You're the author of a book called Complete, Done, Finished, The Joy of Doing, The Freedom When Done. So let's start out by, I just am curious because this is it's an unusual topic, and I think I first heard about you by reading Jack Canfield's Success Principles, and he talked about your coaching work. But I wondered how you became interested in the subject of completion or completing.
Well, I think it's, for me, one of the most significant pieces of all of our lives, because we finish things always. We start the day, we end the day, we start school, we graduate from school. And then there's the minute pieces of completing, which are involved in finishing an assignment, finishing a project. It could be simply finishing a telephone call, finishing a communication. It's kind of part of our lives, and sometimes I don't think we're always focused on it, and we tend to skip over things and move from one thing to the next. And
so
I used to be one of those people.
So we're talking about people who kind of have 10 things on their desk, but none of them are done. Is that
exactly? Exactly.
Okay.
Or more, so, even more importantly, 100 things in their head that aren't even written down that are in the background while they're trying to stay focused on what they're doing in the moment.
Yeah, I think the stuff in the head is even more dangerous, isn't it?
Yes. For me, it is, and I see that with my clients, because as soon as you can empty that mind of all of the things that you've been holding on to while you're trying to do other things, the body just relaxes, the mind relaxes, and the person actually feels instantly better.
Mm-hmm. And I just, we have a lot of shows on the effect of relaxation on health, and so completing actually might be have some health benefits, too, that may not have been studied yet, huh?
It's true. And sometimes even the act of sharing a secret you've been holding for many years is a major completion. And we've held communications from our family, from our coworkers, that we just don't have the courage to say. Once said, everything just relaxes.
Can you give an example of that? I see that a lot in my work with people with addictions and eating disorders, that often there are huge family secrets. Sometimes there's almost a culture of secrecy within a family that you never share anything with anyone who's not part of your family. But do you have any examples from your work with individuals that would show why getting rid of a secret might clear the way for other things or have some benefit?
I'm actually working with someone now who just shared with me that they're dealing with a spouse that has been borrowing money and they didn't know about it. And it will underneath that then starts to erode the trust in the relationship when you find out that information. But what I share with them is if you're willing to really look at what's going on, that's the first step towards completing. If you will just look at it, everybody's willing to deal with it once it's out on the table. But it's pretty hard to deal with it if it's not being acknowledged.
I would expect that would go for other types of secrets, like someone who's cheating on a spouse. But how small do we have to get? In other words, you know, does any secret affect our ability to complete, or just the major ones?
Probably for me, the most important piece of this is to be really honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tell yourself your secret, so sometimes we aren't really honest with what we want to do in a moment. People ask you what you want to do, and you say it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does matter because everybody has a preference. So if people will voice those and to really tell the truth in that moment, it completes that action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my work, you know, with people with eating disorders, often denial is part of the eating disorder or part of the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing can change not much can change unless they're willing to admit to themselves. And I always say to my clients, you can lie to me, but the worst thing you can do is to lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what denial is. So in your book, you talk about, you describe completing as a sacred act. What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, if I'm going to complete what I say I will do, which is essentially an agreement with myself, it's honoring myself. It's treating myself as worthy of keeping my agreements. And to me, that feels sacred. It is a place of honor. So if I really slip down to this moment and do what's in front of me with my full undivided attention, it's a way of really taking care of myself, honoring who I am, and being present with the soul that I am.
Yeah. So is completing, what does completing have to do with what you call conscious action, and what is conscious action?
Well, for me, conscious action is when you open an email in your inbox or you pick up a piece of mail that you've received, that you look at it with your full undivided attention. To me, that's conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is you're not drinking a cup of coffee while you're doing it. You're not talking to a colleague while you're also looking at an email.
Mm-hmm.
But you're really giving yourself the time and the focus to look at it and then decide if there is a next step with this particular item.
Why is that important? I mean, I know there's studies that say that multitasking doesn't really work, but you know, multitasking it's almost like embedded in our culture right now.
It is.
So why is this so important, this conscious action?
Well, if I'm doing more than one thing at a time, my attention is in neither place. So often I will watch a client pick up two things from their inbox, and they have one in one hand and one in the other. And I'll just say, please don't move and just stay still for a moment and tell me how you're feeling. And they'll always say scattered, distracted, something, because they're not with either one. And they're, in fact, already focused on the third one that's in their inbox.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does, and I'm sure you would know that as a doctor, it stresses the consciousness. It's like it stresses the body, it stresses our mind. So we're not really with ourselves or the thing we're doing.
Oh, I see.
And teachers know that.
It's a form of distraction, you're saying.
Yeah, it's a distraction, yeah. It's like you're not really in one place or the other, so it's really hard to make good decisions from that place.
Yeah. So what do your clients tell you about? I mean, why does someone come to you, for example?
usually someone will come to me when they're feeling overcommitted, overwhelmed, stressed, unable to complete, and feeling like they have too large a backlog.
Okay. And is this something that, I mean, is, I know there are different phases of completing and there are also different steps of completing, but why do people have so many fears around completing? How does it, you know, is this something that we're taught or?
Is this a good question?
We have a few minutes before the break. If you can address that humongous topic, I would appreciate it.
I'm sure that it's learned behavior. I mean, you know, all of us that hurry up when we're kids, hurry up, we got to get to school. You know, it's that, it's always like we're never enough because we're never doing enough. So somewhere in the programming is that expectation that we, if we don't do it, we're going to fail. If we don't do that, it's always like this negative consequence. If we would praise more of our completions as we do them and celebrate what we do versus what we aren't doing, we'd be further ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's particularly true in how we parent. Your examples are, they definitely hit home because I think most of us have that focus on hurry, 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 and we don't give a lot of celebration for even, you know, big completions. I just finished, my 18-year-old just graduated from high school, and we did have a large celebration on that. But I think, you know, sometimes that can get interrupted by fears about the next step and how I'm going to complete that, or maybe I didn't do this one quite as well, or shame or regret about how we did complete things. Is that something you've seen in your clients?
Yes, absolutely, because as soon as they're finished with one thing, they go, oh, but look at all these other things. So there's no integration time sometimes for ourselves, and I love to celebrate completing. I think it's really the most important thing we can do. And even, you know, when people train dogs, my friend just got a wonderful new yellow lab, and when the dog does something that she's training them to do, they receive a treat. But we never acknowledge ourselves. We just constantly beat ourselves up for not finishing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So on my website, I actually have a little box where you can type in something you completed, and then there's 11 different videos of me cycling through in various expressions to celebrate you, because it's so important. Because then it gives you the willingness to do more, and you feel more supported to complete more.
So in the couple of minutes that we have, I wonder if you could give some examples of how people can celebrate completions and what they're celebrating, maybe from your client base.
Okay, everybody hold your ears. It could go something like this. I am so fabulous! Or it could be, wow, honey, thank you so much.
We're not talking about something big like you have to go out to dinner. Or
no, it's just literally an appreciation for yourself right in that moment. So when I finish something, I go, good job, Martha Ringer. You know, and I just keep doing it.
And you refer
day.
To yourself in the third person like that, right?
No, sometimes I say sweetheart or honey.
Oh, okay.
But I do say, sometimes I go, good job, Martha Lee Ringer. I'll say my whole name, you know. But it's spontaneous so that I just keep acknowledging myself for what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think we just don't have enough of that in our lives, especially when kids are growing up. It's always, you didn't finish your homework. It's the constant place of not enough. And we reinforce it over and over.
Now it's time to do the dishes. And
yeah, exactly.
The dishes will pick up your clothes. And
yeah.
Okay, so you're advocating even for things like that, that we stop and say, good job, you finished your homework, and then go on to what next needs
exactly.
to be done.
Yeah, we're just naggers, as my friends' kids tell me. That my mother just nags at me all day long. And I go, yeah. Cause
nobody likes to be nagged.
No,
sure.
Nobody does. But I think it's everybody's trying so hard to hold it all together, and the mother or the father is trying to parent the kid, or the boss is trying to parent their staff member, and they're taking over responsibility for each other as opposed to really supporting people in doing it on their own and then celebrating their completion.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to break here pretty soon, and when we come back, I'd like to talk more about completing and maybe talk about some of the steps to completing, because I'm not so sure that we all know when something is complete. So we'll be back in just a moment with my guest, Martha Ringer.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program that will change your relationship with food and with your body. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand, all from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vita Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at VitalLifeRadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vita Life.
Welcome back to The Vita Life. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. And I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Princess Know-It-All and the Noble Food Makeover, Healthy Recipes, Tips on Beauty and Style, and the True Life Adventures of a Real American Princess. You can find out more about Princess Know-It-All at www.pkia.com. And my guest today is Martha Ringer. And Martha is involved in an interesting enterprise called Completing. She lives and teaches completing as a way of life. She has a background of experience in both the private and public sector, and she offers a newsletter on her website at www.martharinger.com. And I think the newsletter also has, it's a /treats.html. So that's martharinger.com/treats.html. So Martha, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to get into more detail about this notion of completing, the idea that we can actually clear off our desk, and what are the steps to completing?
The first step is to get out of your head what you have in there, as like we'll tuck things into our head, oh, I'll remember that later, and you never do. So what's important is that you just empty your head of all the things that you've made agreements to, like I'll call you, or let's have lunch, or I'll get that report to you by next Friday, or I'll make those reservations for our trip. It's all in there. And most people can tell you what's on their calendar. I honestly cannot until I look. because I've let go so much from trying to hold on to those things.
So but when you say empty your head, are you saying write it on a calendar or make a note?
Well, just to write it down. Just make a list on any paper that you have.
Okay.
And then you need to take each one at a time, and ask yourself, what is the next step I need to take with this to get it to completion? So most people will skip over that, and they'll say, I can do that later.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then they'll go to the next thing, and they'll go, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And they just stack it all up, but they never really make a conscious decision about what it is they are going to do when they do get to later.
Okay, so I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding, so I wondered if you could give an example about what is the next step to complete.
Okay, so let's say that, in fact, I just received a notice from Anthem Blue Cross letting me know that they no longer will allow me to charge my monthly payment on a credit card. They're stopping that behavior. I'm like, that makes me very sad. So what it means is I need to take a step to make sure that my payment is now coming out of my credit card, out of my checking account. So my next action would be to open up my payment system on the computer and add in this payment on a certain day a month, and then to cancel the other one from the other credit card. So I have my first step is to do one or the other and set it up.
Mm-hmm. And what did it look like if you were to skip that step?
It would be I would tuck it in my little head,
mm-hmm,
and put the piece of paper aside.
Okay.
Which is what a lot of us do. Or we stack the pieces of paper that we have to do in a pile.
Uh-oh, I'm looking at my desk right now, and I have a stack of stickies. Oh, I'm
caught. Exactly. And so it's okay to do. There's nothing wrong with doing it that way. It just means that the next time you pick up the stack, you have to go through the same decision-making process again,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to just handling it. So the rule is if you can handle it in a couple of minutes, you just do it now.
Is this something that you should be doing every day or once a week? Or
you do it as you go. So if you're starting at the top of your email inbox, you handle the first email and you take the next action step. If you can't do it in 2 minutes, you write it on a list of actions, which would be more detail of how to set this up. But you would then move the email into a section which would be documents that will allow me to take the action in the future. So you could call it action support or whatever you want to call it, so you know that's where you go when you're ready to take that action, but you move it out of the inbox.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is if you take the body as an analogy for working, the inbox would represent your mouth, the pending stuff would represent your tummy, and the completion stuff would represent your little butt. So
mm-hmm,
if you eat food, it goes through your mouth, it digests through your system, and it's eliminated. The
mm-hmm
same thing is true for all of our stuff, the mail and the information and the emails and et cetera that comes into our lives needs to be looked at, a next step decided, time to digest it or process it or do the action, and then it's complete. And it's complete when it's sent along to the next person or it's put in the trash or whatever that end result is.
Yeah, and then we celebrate, right?
And then we celebrate.
And we say, yay, Charlie,
yay, good job.
You did it. Okay, so you also say that one of the steps to completing is consistent daily habit. What does that mean?
Okay, if you really have let stuff go out of your mind and you have it tracked in a system, then you can relax. But you must then have a habit during the day to make sure you stay on it. So what that looks like for me is when I wake up in the morning, I turn on my computer. I take a look first at my calendar to see what my appointment commitments are. And sometimes at the top of my calendar, I have a couple of things that I might need to do on that day, and I will look at them and make sure that they're the first thing that I handle. And then I look over at my to-do list, which would be a list of the next action steps that I need to take for each thing that I couldn't do in 2 minutes when I was looking at my mail or my email the day before or the week before. And those things stay perpetually on one list until they're complete. So I look at the list and I say, I really need to do that today. Mm-hmm. And so I would work on that before I do anything else. So
how do you have in your mind a priority, or is it not in your mind? Because I know sometimes I put things on my calendar to do, and then I start answering my emails, and by the time I look up, I don't have time to do the thing that I said I was going to do.
Right, exactly. So what you want to do is keep that on a perpetual list and choose it when you really are ready to do it, because otherwise you keep eroding your self-trust because you just don't keep doing, you don't keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that your focus and all the things that you need to do are in one place so you can look at them at a glance and you go, yep, I need to do that, and you do it. And then you can delete it off the list. As opposed to putting pressure on yourself to put it on your calendar each day and then keep moving it because you don't do it after
that. So you should kind of put it on the pending calendar and schedule it when you're actually ready to do it.
Yeah, and you wouldn't put it on your calendar at all. You just put it on your action list.
Okay.
And your calendar is reserved for appointments,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to actions.
Okay.
Unless they have to be done that day. Like I have to call so-and-so on that day.
You also talk about making only agreements you intend to keep. And I think that one gets confusing, I know, for me and maybe for some of our listeners, that I always intend to keep my agreement. You know, it's like, you know, I work with people with obesity. I do, you know, I have a home coaching program, and I have a, you know, group in Denver, and I have, you know, other workshops and so on. And one of the things that we often talk about is everybody intends to exercise every day. And somehow that intention goes by the wayside. So how do you do that in point of fact?
Well, what you do is you don't make it an emphatic commitment. In other words, what you say to yourself is, I might exercise today, mm-hmm. so that you give yourself the permission not to do it if it doesn't work out that you can do it that day. If you really are committed to doing it and you have it on your calendar and you do it, that will support your direction as well. The key is not to be wishy-washy about it or say something you're going to do and not do it. For instance, I'll call you on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't write it down, and then you don't call them on Monday, and so you call them on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But some little part of you goes, I don't trust you because you don't do what you say you're going to do. So if I meet you on the street and you say, let's have lunch, you know, I will respond to you, that sounds great. When would you like to set it up? And I will either handle it or I'll say, you know, I'm not ready to do that right now, but thank you for the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't leave myself dangling all over the place, because we make these commitments and it's so subtle, like I'm going to take a bath tonight, and then you don't do it because you get busy.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody that you work with finds themselves continuing to put on their to-do list things that they don't keep, how do you help them change that?
Okay. So what happens is the list of next actions is a list that you are agreeing to do at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The way in which you keep that, keep it in alignment inside of yourself so that you're not breaking your agreements, is you review it on a weekly basis so that you can actually say to yourself, you know, I still do want to do this, and I am still going to keep this on this list.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you may look at something on your action list and you say, you know, the truth is this has been on here for 3 months. I'm not going to do it. And then you make a conscious choice to not do that thing, and you delete it.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I know with people who say they want to go on a diet, and often they'll join a program, and then they don't do the things that are part of the program, and they don't get success. And I usually tell them, if you're not ready to lose weight, then put it off until you're ready, rather
exactly.
than continuing to, you know, go say you're going to do stuff and then not doing it.
It's more damaging to say you're going to and not do it than to just put that diet on a Sunday maybe list. There's another list in the system that I work with, and if you put it on the Sunday maybe list, you don't have any action. It's just there to remind you it is something that you would like to do. And I will review my Sunday Maybe list in my weekly review, and I'll see things. I go, oh, I did that, without even knowing it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's still conscious for me because I see it every week, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I did that, and you delete it. So it's taking the pressure off. Whatever goes on that next action list, what you're saying to yourself is, yes, I want to do this, and I'm working towards that. So on a daily basis, when you're working, you work off of that list so you stay on point with yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the next step, according to your book, is what we talked about earlier, which is appreciating and rewarding yourself. And then the final one in your book is moving, acting, doing, and participating. What's that one about? We have about 1 minute before our break, so if you can get us started on that, that would help.
Well, for me, if I'm in motion and completing, I'm moving, I'm taking action, I'm doing things, and I'm fully participating. And when you're in that flow, you don't have a backlog. Stuff does not stack up on my desk anymore. Because I'm always in motion with it, so if it comes into my inbox, I handle it right away. You know how if you get a parking ticket, you come home, you're so mad, you get the parking ticket, and you want to just stick it somewhere? I go right to the website, pay the ticket, and throw the thing away because it's a complete done finish.
Yeah, and when you don't, then you get the next ticket, and they've added the fine
exactly.
in, right?
But I try to.
I don't know that from personal experience, of course.
Of course, never.
Yeah, I really love this system. Do you actually have, supporting documents to help people use the system, or do they have to do that on their own, or how does that work?
I work with them, and I do give them a document, but the best thing I can recommend is for them to get David Allen's book called Getting Things Done, mm-hmm. and it describes that whole system, and he's my good friend, and he is the guru in this arena.
Yes, but I have to say your book is much easier to read than his.
Well, my book's a little different focus. Mine is more an inspirational book that has you start thinking about these things. And if you need the nuts and bolts, David's book is brilliant.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to go to break right now, and when we come back, we'll talk more about completing and conscious action with my guest, Martha Ringer. So,
opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program that will change your relationship with food and with your body. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream? Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalka on Stargazing Stories, sparking your creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on 7th Wave Network.
Step to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at vitalliferadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vital Life.
Listening to The Vital Life Radio, I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. The Vital Life Radio is brought to you by Princess Know-It-All and the Noble Food Makeover at www.pkia.com. My special guest today is Martha Ringer, who is she's the author of the book, Complete, Period, Done, Period, Finished, The Joy of Doing, The Freedom When Done. So before the break, we were talking about the steps to completing. Did you finish everything you needed to say about that?
I think the only thing that I just heard was one of the important things is if you hear something that you need to do, come back in your head 1, 2, 3 times, you must just stop, write it down, and place that into your inbox so that it's out of your head so you'll start to take action on it, because it's that remembering and that constant holding on to things that really keeps us stressed.
Yeah, and I don't know if you recommend this, but I have a little tablet next to my bed because, sadly, sometimes I can't sleep at night.
Yeah, no, that's a really good practice. That's excellent.
Yeah,
I have one.
I'll wake up and I'll just write down all of the things that, and often they are things that I didn't write down during the day. So I maybe I'd sleep better if I wrote them down right away, as you're suggesting.
It really makes a difference. People are constantly watching me writing things down, and I've seen the freedom that's given me. So I literally have one in my bathroom and one in my kitchen, in my office, and if I'm on the road and I think of something, I call myself and leave a message on the voicemail so that I don't hold it in my head.
Mm-hmm. So your head is empty of things to do.
Exactly.
And so I can understand that reduces the busyness of the mind, but do you still think about any of those things that you've written down, like think about the steps, or have you eliminated that by writing down the steps too?
No, I don't think about them. Honestly, I don't. And that, to me, has been the place that's allowed me to have more creativity, write more, you know, be more productive. It's very helpful to not have your mind cluttered.
Yeah. So how do you teach people to handle all of the numerous things that have to get done without, you know, getting too stressed out?
Well, one at a time. It literally, people
think, it sounds so simple.
That's so, I can't do that. I go, yes, you can. And I just worked with someone, and somebody I had worked with 4 years ago, and we did a day refresher. And it was very powerful for me to watch the change in the behavior from 4 years ago till now. And I could see that place was, as soon as they started only doing one thing at a time and slowed down, it just got into like this moment. I would call it like, no time. It was like time expands to such a full place, and they just kept doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. Now, they didn't finish, and that was discouraging to them, and I said, no, look at all that you just did. So it's that place of you can really, when you get in it and you are really staying with one at a time, you actually finish so much.
Now, that's a great idea. And you also say schedule time to work on these things and keep your agreements in writing.
Yes, because sometimes people make these wonderful lists and then they never have time in their schedule to work on them. Mm-hmm. So then the stuff doesn't get done, and then it starts, and then they never look at the list, and then the stuff piles back into your mind because you're not in conscious control of it anymore.
Well, you say in your book, if you choose to begin something, always choose to complete it.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm familiar with people using, you know, priority ratings and so on. But with the myriad, I don't know about other people's lives, but, you know, the patients that I work with, everybody has so much going on. And it's like, it seems like it's hard to choose are hard to figure out what will have the most impact. If you were, you know, for example, in my career, there are different things I do, like the radio show, the, you know, my private practice, my weight management program, and so on. And sometimes I have stuff to do for all of them, and I think, well, which would have the most impact? And I should do that. But what is the decision-making here?
Okay. For me, that's where the listening comes in. So I will look at the list, and I will listen for what the intuitive action is. Mm-hmm. So what that might look like is, if I get this done, I will feel so much better. Or this person needs this, or else X, Y, and Z is going to happen. Or I am so brain dead at this moment, I'm going to do the things on this list that require no intelligence, you know, whatever that might be.
Dishes, that would be
exactly, exactly. Or do the laundry, or, you know, or, but if you're at an office, it might be you walk down to the kitchen or the mail room or the wherever it is, and you do one little thing that you have to pick up something from someone, or, you know, some little thing that's on there that's probably been on there for a while. But you just do the things that, you know, are, if you're in your office, you could, you know, water the plants, you know, something so that you're moving and you're participating, but you maybe don't use the one that can do the budget for the year. You know.
I think sometimes the things that get me slowed down are things I don't know how to do. Like,
exactly.
You know, there's an issue with, you know, insurance. I have to find a new insurance company. And, you know, there's lots of issues as you get older with finding a new insurance company because, you know, you may have medical problems or whatever. And so, you know, it's like, what? How do I even do this? And so I keep putting it on my list, but it doesn't get done because I don't know how.
So here's a perfect example. So if you and I were sitting together, I would say to you, all right, so where would you start? If you were going to spend the whole rest of the day just finding an insurance company, tell me what you would do first, the very first thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, I did start doing it, and I went online and applied to an insurance company, and I was rejected or turned down. And then I was stuck again.
Okay. So then I would say to you, all right, so now what? And so I might suggest some things like, who do you know that's already done this?
Yeah.
Or is there somebody in your immediate circle of friends that you could ask about this? And you just start brainstorming in your own mind until you come up with one single step, and that's what gets written down, not find new insurance company.
Sure.
Because find new insurance company is probably 25 or 30 steps.
Yeah.
And you can't move on something that isn't a defined next doable step.
So you're saying break it down into
doable steps. Yes. And so what you would have is the end result of having a new insurance company on your project list, and your project list would be your outcome list of what it is that you're wanting to achieve.
So it would be called so-and-so who's done this before. That would be on my
next action list.
Okay.
And then your project list would be, my insurance policy is in place. Mm-hmm. That would be the end result.
Yeah. Well, I know so many of us just have so many things on the list, and it's really difficult to get a clear picture of, you know, what needs to be your next step sometimes. So I like this idea of breaking it down and putting it into doable steps.
Exactly. And the other thing is for people, to me, is to really, really carefully look at what you're committing to and seeing if you're overcommitted.
Mm-hmm. Which I think the majority of people in our country are, right?
I think they are. And I think it's a choice, and that people can really choose to have a calmer existence by how they use their time and where they place their attention.
But don't you have mothers who say, you know, well, I have to do all this stuff for my kids before I can do the stuff that I want to do?
Yeah, and sometimes they forget to ask their kids if they even really want to do it. I'm seeing this with somebody that I know, and their kids don't really want to do it, but the parents want them to do it.
Or maybe the parents feel that they're not good parents if they don't do it.
Exactly. And yeah. I said, if you calm it down and just have some family time here, your kids will be far better off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good advice, and not one that, you know, many of us are maybe even wanting to hear or able to hear. So one of the other things that you talked about on the CD that you have, the audio program you have, and I just wanted to bring this up. We have just about a minute and a half before the break, but you have something called Inner Caller ID. How do you what is it and how do you use it?
I think that came up is because I think the caller ID thing is really something.
Yeah.
And here's why I actually have started using it, like started looking. But I prefer not to, because really what I want to do is go inside as I hear the phone and ask myself my inner caller ID. Do I have time to answer the phone in this moment, regardless of who it is?
So you don't screen for
exactly,
the person you have to talk to.
Either I have phone ability or I don't.
Okay.
And what we do is we go on automatic. Phone rings, we pick it up. And it's just not necessary. What was important is to stay with what you're focused on and just see if you can, if you leave it, will you lose what you're doing? Because sometimes you're right in the middle of something that requires really a lot of thought process. And then your phone rings and you leave right away without even knowing that you're leaving and pick up the phone, and then you don't even know where you need to start when you hang up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
so that's
constant.
That's why we have voicemail, in other words.
Exactly.
do we have an inner voicemail?
Yeah, it's an inner voicemail, because you do know that, because you can tell sometimes, and somebody will call you and say, I was just thinking about you, and they call.
Yeah.
So it's where your attention is placed, and if we will consciously place our attention in any given moment, we're in the flow that's the natural flow, and we'll know exactly what to do next. I have those days, and when I really have them 100%, I'm like, oh, thank you, because it's so peaceful and it's so much fun.
Yeah, sometimes it's really peaceful just to unplug the phone so you don't have to make that decision, you know, if you're working on something important. Well, we're going to go to break.
I actually did that last night and did exactly that, unplugged everything.
We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Martha Ringer on completing. And we'll get more into some of the ways in which to focus our attention so we can complete.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have your resolutions to lose weight fallen flat? Get serious about reaching your healthy weight and actually changing your relationship with food once and for all. The Anchor Weight Management Program is a unique whole-person approach to restoring your healthy body weight without sacrificing your joy in eating. This is a medically supervised, effective, safe, and realistic program that will change your relationship with food and with your body. There are ongoing programs in the Denver area, or you can do the program at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. For more information or to register, call 303-993-5468. That's 303-993-5468. If you are a first-year mom or maybe a mother-to-be, tune in every week for From Here to Maternity. Your host, Janet Markovitz, will answer some of those questions that others won't. Learn what to ask your professional and when to ask it. We'll take a look at the latest products for new moms and future moms. We're here to support you and answer your questions in this special and sometimes difficult time. From Here to Maternity is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Cibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Step to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential with your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker-Ross. If you have a question for Dr. Ross or her guests today, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer to send an email, you can reach Dr. Ross at vitalliferadio@gmail.com. Now back to The Vital Life.
Welcome back to The Vital Life Radio, brought to you by Princess Know-It-All and The Noble Food Makeover. Healthy recipes, tips on beauty and style, and the true life adventures of a real American princess. You can learn more about Princess Know-It-All and The Noble Food Makeover at www.pkia.com. My guest today is Martha Ringer, and she is an author and a coach. And I think you do two-day coaching sessions. Is that correct, Martha?
That's correct, yes.
And the purpose of those is to help people learn to – it's not just organizing, really.
No, I don't – I tell people – I don't teach people how to organize, but you must have some organizational systems as your foundation before you can have the freedom to work in the flow of next actions. But the 2 days is literally an experiential 2 days where you're working on your actual work. We work on the person's email and their desk stacks of paper until everything's cleared up.
Wow.
And there's a
that would be such a gift, I think.
Yes.
So if people want to find out more about the coaching sessions, they go to your website?
Yes, they can, or they can just email me, martha@martharinger.com.
And the email is www.martharinger.com.
The website, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Before we get into the next topic, I just wanted you to tell a little bit about the story about the tennis balls. And you said in the audio program that I listened to that we miss some of the balls that come our way by trying to hold on to the ones in our hands. So can you say more about how you use that metaphor with your clients?
Yes, I actually give a gift of a little one of those bouncy, icy balls. And
yeah.
At the beginning, I just say to them, if you're really present and I throw this ball at you, as I'm throwing it to them, they come right present and they catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have them throw it back at me and I say, if I'm not present and a curveball comes at me from my boss or from my family or from wherever, this is what it will look like. And they throw the ball and I just like try desperately to catch it and I can't. And I have them do it again, and I don't even see it coming. I literally, it hits me and bounces off, and I don't even see it,
mm-hmm.
Which is what happens because people filter things out. So you, in relationship, you'll hear a partner go, I never heard you say that. I definitely did. I said it, and you were right here. Well, the reason they didn't hear it is because they weren't present, and they were thinking about something else. So when you ask something of someone, it would be really great that you ask them what they heard and have them repeat it back to you so that you know that it was heard, or you watch them write it down.
Yeah. So one of the other practices you encourage is finishing the day. Tell us how that looks. What's involved in finishing the day?
Well, at the end of my day, I want to see what happened during the day. So I look at my calendar and I might see an appointment I have with someone and I said, oh, I agreed to do such and such, and I didn't write it down. So I write it down, toss it in my inbox so that it's there the next day for me to look at. And then I just look at everything on my calendar. Sometimes at the top of the page I have a reminder to do something, and I want to make sure that that was finished before I go to bed. I consciously move it to the next day so it's not left over and I've moved on to tomorrow and I still have dangling things.
Okay. So it's a way sort of even wrapping up the process.
Exactly.
Day.
And you also want to take a peek at the next day so that you know what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, I turn off the computer, turn off the printer. I just sort of close down the day. And then I have a number of other personal things I do before I go to bed so that when I close my eyes, I'm done.
Okay. And lastly, we have a couple of minutes now before the end of the show, and it's been great talking to you, but what encouragement can you give to people who feel discouraged and overwhelmed by either the amount of stuff they have in their lives or the volume of their work?
I would say to start where you are. and to not do any judgment. The most important thing for me with all of this work is that you do not blame yourself for the situation, but you start taking action steps towards moving some of it forward, and that you spend conscious time acknowledging and appreciating who you are, because that gives you the impetus to keep going. But the beating ourselves up and the making ourselves wrong is really what causes the stress. So in the book, there's a line about how to do self-forgiveness. You're not forgiving the behavior, you're forgiving the blame and the judgment and the wrongness that you place on top of it. So it would sound something like this: I forgive myself for judging myself for not finishing that project when I said I would.
Okay.
And then you can ask yourself, well, what could I put in place to support myself to getting that done on time? So you start, but the most important thing is that you love yourself through to completion as opposed to judge yourself through to completion. You won't get there.
Some people really believe, and I run into this with weight management, they believe that if they beat themselves up enough and are judgmental about how they look, that that will force them to take the right steps. But as you said, without acknowledging the completing, there's no enthusiasm to do the next step. There's no enthusiasm.
None. You just, it's a drudgery. And the truth is, none of us like processing the inbox. But I had a client once, and I really would love to connect with her. She would say, I'm going to pretend it's Christmas. And I'm like, that's going a little far, but it works for her. You know, she got enthusiastic, and she said, oh, another thing. What can I do with this?
Great. Sorry to say that's all the time we have today, and I just want to really thank you, Martha, for illuminating me and our listeners on the process of completing. I'm much more interested in it after talking to you, actually. I want to thank the listeners of the Vital Life Radio and our sponsor, Princess Know-It-All. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross, and I'll be talking to you next week when I'll have special guest Dr. Barry Sears, who's the author of The Zone, creator of The Zone Diet, and founder of ZoneDiet.com. He has a brand new book that's called Toxic Fat, When Good Fat Turns Bad, and we'll be talking to him next week. Until then, I wish you good health and vitality.
We hope you've enjoyed listening this week to The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential. Please be sure to join Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until then, have a vital week.